As I said, we're going to talk about a subject that's probably at one time or another has affected every one of you here. This is one of the best study guides that I've ever come across in my lifetime. Slaying the giants in your life. We've been working at this. There's 12 studies. I think we've done, we got four to go yet. So we decided to pick up in the fall. Some of you that's in the Bible study, I'll have to just put up with a little rehash here. I'll try to make it interesting. I will be reading quite a bit because it's good material. I don't want to skip over it. It's written by David Jeremiah. David Jeremiah is probably one of the best study guides I've ever seen. He makes it very plain and very simple. He doesn't complicate it. It's what I like about his writings. He does not complicate it. Makes it real easy to understand. Gives lots of illustrations and examples. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you know who suffers through loneliness. And you know there's been times that all of us have had times like that. So now, Lord, help us to understand things and ways that you can guide us to help us through these times in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In his 1989 book, 6 Hours, One Friday, author Max Lucado, he writes about taking a walk through an old cemetery in his hometown. Many of the graves were people who lived and died in the 19th century. Many of the names belonged to children, bearing witness to the difficulties of life on the Texas prairie. One grave he came across struck him sharply. It had no dates of birth or death, just the name of a woman and her two husbands. The epitaph on the grave read simply, "Sleeps, but rests not. Loved, but was loved not. Tried to please, but pleased not. Died as she lived, alone." What a sad testimony to have lived and died alone. We tend to think life among the pioneers and settlers might have been more lonely than our lives. No telephones or dependable mail system, no neighbors close by to keep company with. But you see, the truth is just the opposite. Loneliness has reached epidemic proportions in our world. And even though we have lots of ways at our fingertips to communicate, people today are lonely than they've ever been. Loneliness creates a feeling of emptiness on the inside. And so people try to compensate for that feeling by filling themselves with food or drugs or alcohol, material things, sex, work, or other people's lives. But loneliness is not removed by any of these substitutes for true relationships. And our most foundational one is our relationship with our Lord. You see, everyone experiences loneliness at different times in life. It's not always a bad or a dangerous experience. There is something to be said for learning to be alone with ourselves and God. But loneliness over the long term can have negative effects physically as well as spiritually. So now we're going to look at 6 experiences of loneliness, which I'm sure you're going to fall into one of these categories. We're going to start with the lonely single. Can't seem to find our mate. Can't seem to find the helpmate that we read about in Genesis. And so David Jeremiah writes about the community in which he resides. He resides in San Diego, California. It has one of the largest populations, single populations in the United States. We don't know if it's for the beautiful weather or the California lifestyle or the many opportunities for ventures, business ventures, military bases, but young single adults flock to San Diego. And he's known from his own relationships with single Christians that go home to an empty house or apartment night after night can be a lonely lifestyle. It's true not only in my community, but he says everywhere. The singles bars, the club scenes are full in America. It's an indication of how desperate many single people are to conquer loneliness by trying to meet someone, anyone to talk to. Being a Christian helps. A single believer in Christ has spiritual resources they can draw on in times of loneliness. But we read the portion in Genesis 2:18 that human beings were not created by God to spend their life alone. You see, when Adam saw that the animals all had mates, he saw he didn't have any. That's when God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he made a helpmate for Adam. Number two, the lonely spouse. It's an amazement to me that the very institution that God created to provide the greatest sense of intimacy often becomes a place of great loneliness. I remember when I was speaking somewhere on this topic, and I received a letter in the mail the next week from a woman who had heard my message. Here's what she wrote. Today you really struck a spot that is sensitive in my heart. I try not to dwell on it. The loneliness in marriage. But the truth is, I am lonely. My husband and I are both Christians. We live relatively well. We're educated. My husband's a good man. He works hard and is a good provider. He isn't abusive. He is a good father. But my emotional needs are very rarely met. He works all the time. It's a case of two people living parallel lives but never really meeting at all. I've heard of being married and living a single life. He's heard and read a little bit about how a husband can create a good relationship with his wife, but it must have all passed over him without making any impression at all. I try not to think about it, but the hurt's deep, and I'm a very lonely person. It's sad that the very relationship that God has ordained to combat loneliness has become for many the most lonely place on earth. Thirdly, the lonely survivor. There are lonely survivors, the spouse who live on after a loved one has died. Lonely survivors experience a kind of pain which I'm told is so intense that there's nothing in life to which it can be compared. I haven't gone through this loss personally, and I can only imagine what it must be like. But I can tell you, I've seen my share of spouses say goodbye to their spouses. And I stood behind them as they went to the casket and pulled the blanket over their loved one, whom they spent 60 or 70 years with. And I can tell you it was very difficult to see. But I witness it more often than I wish to. I can only imagine what that might be like. While the death of a spouse is heartrending, at least it comes with a sense of closure. Divorce is another kind of loneliness producer that perhaps is even worse, for there's no finality. It's an open wound that rarely heals completely. Not only is there physical and emotional loneliness to contend with, but a sense of rejection as well. Fourthly, the lonely senior citizen. The number of senior citizens in our country is growing at a faster rate than any time in history. And the sense of loneliness that sets in with seniors is very significant. Often, they've lost a spouse. Their children have moved away. They struggle to find a place to fit in where they can feel significant. The position of authority, influence, and respect that they once occupied in their vocational years is no longer theirs. And so their loneliness is one of great significance. Today's seniors, a sense of loneliness comes from a loss of significance, is often the very most acute kind of loneliness there is. Searching for and finding a purpose in the twilight years of life presents a great challenge. Fifthly, the lonely sufferer. The lonely sufferer who experiences the pain he cannot describe to anyone else. Sometimes that loneliness is in a busy place, like a hospital. One man wrote to me from his hospital bed, "It is when the lights go out and the room is suddenly plunged into darkness that the awful awareness comes. The traffic of the hospital goes on like an uncontrolled fever outside my door. But inside, the room is so still. Loneliness can be compounded by suffering. Many suffer physically or emotionally in ways that cannot be described. The loneliness that Job felt was not just because he had lost his family, but because he was suffering physically in the midst of all his losses. Can you imagine suffering all them losses and then physically being pain? Wow. Number six, the lonely servant of God. What can I say about the person who leaves his familiar culture and goes to the mission field? He leaves behind everything and everyone that kept him from being lonely. He goes into a brand new culture. Everything's different. The food, the language, the customs. He doesn't know anyone. Takes far more time to establish new relationships because of the culture barriers, which must be overcome. We get letters from missionaries, which you can read details of loneliness written between the lines. They're not complaining, but you can tell they're paying a price for their service to God on the foreign field. Leadership can be a lonely place. Moses said, "I cannot carry all these people myself. The burden's too heavy for me." The book of Numbers, chapter 11 and 14. Anyone who's ever been in a position of leadership knows it can be lonely at the top. When leaders moves out ahead of those he's leading, he turns his back on those who follow. And yes, you can be a leader of a large church or large ministry and still experience loneliness. It comes with the territory. We can find lots of heroes of faith who experience loneliness in their lives. It's not a sin to be lonely, for great men and women have battled loneliness, but we can develop a sinful response to loneliness. Examples we have of loneliness. Number one is David. David wrote on this occasion, "For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned like hearth. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." Psalms 102, verse 3, 6, and 7. You see, you can almost feel the edge of David's pain as he describes his feelings. David was hounded all over the Judean wilderness by King Saul, a fugitive for much of his pre-royal life before he became king. When I read about David's loneliness, it comforts and instructs me to know he survived and he trusted God in the midst of it. Our second example is Jeremiah the prophet. He tells one of his agonizing stories. He was the author of the Book of Lamentations, as you know, a collection of funeral dirges that expresses the anguish of his heart as he watched the city of Jerusalem go down in ruin before his very eyes. Elroy's Sunday school lesson. He was known as a weeping prophet because of the tears he shed over the destruction of God's city. No one would listen to his calls for repentance. He felt like he was the only voice crying out in a spiritual wilderness, and he finally confessed he'd be better off leaving and going out into the desert than remaining among those who cared so little for God. Jeremiah 9:2. So we see the loneliness that he felt among his own people. And then thirdly, Paul the Apostle. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He founded many missionary churches all over the Mediterranean world. He penned some of the greatest theological treatises, or I would say epistles. There's his letter to the Romans. Would someone like Paul, how would he suffer loneliness? But he certainly did on occasions. At the end of his last letter he wrote before he died, he addressed it to his protege, Timothy. He found himself in a Roman prison. This was not the setting of his first arrest, which was simply a house arrest, as recorded in Acts 28:30. This time he was imprisoned in a Roman dungeon. Listen to these words as he wrote to Timothy, which gave evidence of his loneliness. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, he's departed to Thessalonica. Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Trychicus, I've sent to Ephesus. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. 2 Timothy 4:9 through 16. Did you feel it? Did you feel what I was reading? Here's the great apostle standing alone at the end of his life. No one was with him. You would think that could not happen after all he'd done for the church, but it did. He had no sense of resentment. In Paul's words, it was only a fact of being alone. When loneliness sweeps over you like a wave, remember, you are not the first person to have been lonely. You're not the first Christian. It's no sin to be lonely, but it can become a sin if we indulge it and allow it to turn to self-pity. God's given us ways to escape that before it becomes a downward spiral that pulls us down with it. And here's four ways I'll close with of how you can escape from loneliness. Number one, you need to acknowledge the reality of your loneliness. Christians have made an art of denying the reality of some parts of life because it seems unspiritual to confess to being lonely. And so many Christians quote Hebrews 13:5, where Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and profess they are never lonely because he's always with them. Theologically, it is true. Christ is always with the believer. But our practice doesn't always match our position. It would be more honest and more transparent and real if we simply said, yes, I am lonely at this time in my life, than to deny the reality of our situation. We experience loneliness at times, and there's no shame for a Christian to admit that fact. Second, accept God's provision for your loneliness. For after all, his provisions are the only suitable ones. A fundamental emptiness in every human being can only be filled by the presence of God himself. And so it's interesting that the only time that Jesus cried out in loneliness was from the cross, when the Father forsook him and allowed him to die as a sacrifice for our sins. Without the presence of God, the most agonizing loneliness will affect even the strongest of people. So no one should search for a solution without solving that basic issue of separation. Accept Jesus Christ, be filled with his spirit. That's the first step in overcoming the dimensions that are negative of loneliness. Thirdly, allow God's word to fill your mind and your heart. I say this so frequently, and it can be misinterpreted as a Christian platitude, but it is not. And I say it often because it is the absolute truth. Second only to the presence of God's Spirit in one's life is the presence of God's word. It is an antidote to loneliness. God has spoken very clearly, and if you will read his word, you will hear his voice. He's spoken to me many times in his word, and I know he has to you. So read it. Let him speak to you. Let him help you with your loneliness. And then fourthly, and lastly, activate your network of Christian friends. Be careful who you hang out with. I said Christian friends. Some people have friends they shouldn't have because they turn them into people they shouldn't be. But pick Christian friends. Living in the house of loneliness is a choice. You may not have become lonely by choice, but remaining lonely is something you don't have to do. The body of Christ exists to encourage and strengthen, but if we refuse to get involved, it's difficult for that to happen. Each believer must assume that responsibility for his own emotional and spiritual health, including not lingering in loneliness. In the average church, there are numerous doors through which one can enter into relationships of friendships, but you must walk through the door. And this is a very good phrase to finish with. When we have Jesus Christ living in us, though the world may crumble around us, he is the light from on high that thrills and encourages our hearts. So let's look beyond your circumstances into the face of the one who loves you. Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for laying this on my heart to share. I've got so much from it, and I wanted your people to get it too. And I pray that this message has touched each and every one that's here that has experienced loneliness in their life, who maybe cried yourself to sleep, wondering why me? Why me? But Lord, we know that you felt it. When you hung on the cross, you said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Your own father had to turn his back. He couldn't face you on the cross. So, Lord, I know that you know what it's like to suffer loneliness too. When you were hoping your disciples would be with you, they all forsook you. You were left alone. When you wanted them to pray with you in the garden, you came back and they were asleep. And you prayed alone. And you died alone. So I know that you know all about loneliness. So, Lord, I pray for each and every one here that has experienced loneliness, to help them to look to you. Look to you. And I pray that they'll ask for help. Help me, Lord. I need your help. I need it. I need to sense your presence in my life. I don't want to feel this loneliness. So I pray, Lord, that each and every one that hears this message today, that you'll speak to their hearts and help them to guide them through this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.